This interview with Simon Vetter, entitled Personal Branding, was recorded on 9 March 2011.
This is Joya Van Deren, the Career Services Representative at CFA Institute, and I'm speaking today with Simon Vetter. This podcast is part of the CFA Institute Career Services Library. Simon is an executive and personal branding coach. He is the author of Stand Out, Branding Strategies for Business Professionals. Born and raised in Switzerland, Simon studied business and marketing at the University of Bern before moving to the United States, where he has been based in California for more than a decade. Simon is also a featured coach on the CFA Institute Career Center. Hi, Simon.
Hello, Julia.
How are you today?
Doing great. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to hop in with some questions for you, and I'd like to start this conversation by asking you what, in your opinion, personal branding is and what it is not.
Personal branding is who you are and how you show up in the workplace. Ultimately, your personal brand is the answer to the question, what are you known for? So it's what people think and say and feel about you. Do they have confidence in you? What do they know about you, how you deliver at work, how you show up, what kind of relationships you build? That's the ultimate summary of the brand. Let me give you an example of a manager that I worked with to kind of illustrate how important perception is. His name is Mike. He was a manager, about 50 people working with him. And at the beginning, I asked people around him what his perception is. And people thought, one person said, when he's in a meeting and he doesn't get things that he wants, he's like a little boy in the sandbox who gets angry when you take the tools away. That was his perception. So he really worked on himself and developed a more consistent behavior and developed more executive presence. And 2 years later, he became promoted to a much bigger role to lead. So what he did, Mike, he was changing the perception that people had of him.
Right.
To add something about personal branding, there are five things that's important. Number one, we got to be authentic. We got to be real and genuine how we show up. Number two, we got to be relevant, especially relevant to the people we serve. Number three, since we are all individuals, we are all different and unique. So how do we bring that uniqueness out? Number four, we want to be valuable. We want to deliver value in the workplace. And the last one, consistency. How can we consistently deliver and show up and behave that people have a consistent perception of us?
Excellent. Those are great points. I'd like to refer to your book, Stand Out, if I may. In your book, you talk about three building blocks of personal branding, and the first one that you identify is, in quotes, the essence of you, and you talk about clarity and authenticity. And you just mentioned that in the answer to the last one a little bit as well. And my question about that to you is that about anything more than just existing and being yourself, or is there some kind of mindfulness to it when it comes to thinking about personal branding?
When we work on ourselves around personal branding, I refer to three important things. Number one is the self-image. How do I see myself? And when I work with a lot of people, first thing that I see, a lot of people have a challenge is to talk about themselves. So we have to learn to be comfortable and confident to talk about ourselves in a genuine, authentic way. Not bragging, not tooting our horn, be real and be able to talk about our strengths and failures and accomplishments and things like that. The second era is self-determination. We want to be determined, and with that comes clarity. We know where we're going. We know what we stand for. We know the direction. So people know, especially if I work in an environment and I have people working with me, I communicate clearly the direction where we're going as a team. So that determination comes along with taking initiative, creating urgency, and having a clear path for the future. And the third one is self-integrity, to be honest with ourselves. And integrity is the congruency between what we say and what we do. So we want to make sure what we say to ourselves, to others, is congruent with what we do. So behaviors and what we say is the same. Let me give you another example around self-image and also understanding how we come across. Again, it's that perception piece. And it's important to hold a mirror in front of us. If we keep doing that every day, it's really hard to hide. I was working with a financial planner for a large international investment company, and his name is Lee. Lee is a very funny guy, great humor, tells great jokes. And one thing that I realized when I worked with him, he made a lot of sarcastic comments. So his humor became very cynical and sarcastic. As he was working with his clients and investing their money and managing millions of their dollars, he undermined his own credibility by being sarcastic. So I helped him to kind of be aware of that and be humorous and be fun without being sarcastic. So Lee really better understood his own image about being using humor as an advantage and not a liability in his own brand.
That's a great example. Thank you. And so when you have kind of some of that mindfulness to, you know, who you are and who you're bringing, you indicate in your book that the next, you know, building block is self-marketing. And I wonder what aspect of self-marketing you find most professionals struggle the most with, and if you have any tips for how to address that.
Yeah, let me give you a few strategies how to get out there and better market yourself. And the goal is to have more visibility, more exposure, more credibility. So more people know what I can offer at work. Number one is network. I always highlight and emphasize for people, especially also in the financial field, develop a good network. Develop an alliance, develop relationships, not only with people in your organization, also people in your industry. Join groups like the CFA, join professional associations, join a group that serves a good cause. Get involved, volunteer, get on a board, become the treasurer or the president or VP membership, and get involved and show what you can do. That's a great strategy to really get out there. Number two, create a great bio. And it's not only to have a bio to show others, it's also gain clarity about yourself. If you can summarize all the accomplishments in one page, what does your bio say? And use evidence, use stories. For example, instead of saying, I'm a portfolio manager, mention I'm a portfolio manager for an international company investing $300 million for my clients, resulting in $2 million revenue. So be specific, use numbers, and make sure the numbers are there. You can prove them, you can support them. So create a great bio. Once you have that, put that bio on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is these days the number one social media network for professionals. LinkedIn is great to stay in touch with professionals, to make connections with other professionals. If you want to find a job, it's a great tool. And also people who hire employers, recruiters, they go to LinkedIn. So positively, proactively manage your perception on the web by having a great LinkedIn profile. And another area is around self-marketing is develop expertise. Become the world's expert in an area that is relevant in business. And find something that you're passionate about and you're excited about and become the expert. Study it, learn, read books, go speak. And that's the way you can expose yourself and become visible. And people start to acknowledge you as an expert in that field and you become more valuable.
Do you find that any of those strategies prove to be especially hard for professionals, or is it more a matter of that they aren't aware that they should go and do these things?
One is awareness, that knowing that, yes, that's important, and making it a priority. And some people, they are not comfortable getting out there. And I can use my own example. When I came to U.S., I didn't know how to network. Coming from Switzerland, it was not something that I really was good at or was proficient at. So I had to learn how to become a good networker. I now can go into a professional meeting, don't know anybody, and I can work the room. And I can network and make connections and get business cards and follow up. And it's work. Network is work. One of the things is we have to develop the skills to become good at that. Then the other thing is we got to do it. A lot of people know that networking is key, especially in job transition. 70 to 80% of the jobs are never advertised through referrals, informational meetings, connections, relationships, networking. We got to tap into that market by getting out there. And it takes time, it takes work, it takes determination, persistence. And it will pay off. I have seen a lot of my clients, they go out there and they get involved in good causes, in organizations, and they have more opportunities for growth, for learning, for promotion, for better jobs, and for higher pay as well.
Excellent. One of the other questions I wanted to ask you around the topic of self-marketing, you mentioned in your book that when you were getting ready to write the book, a friend of yours had identified self-marketing as a significant topic of interest in business in Europe. And I'm wondering, in your research, have you found there to be any aspects of self-marketing that are significantly different in Europe than in the U.S., or any other examples of how culture informs personal branding?
There is definitely a difference, and I can speak for the European culture, and especially Switzerland and the German-speaking areas, and the U.S. One difference is U.S. is very individualistic. People acknowledge that many of them are on their own, and in Europe, sometimes I feel there is a little bit more collective responsibility. So in general, I sometimes feel like Europeans are even more resistant in terms of getting out there and promoting themselves. There's this underlying tone in Europe that say, yeah, you're not promoting yourself. It's not good. I'm not supposed to market myself. So I think it's a little bit more open here in the U.S. Another difference I see between U.S. and Europe is level of risk-taking. I find in America people are a little bit more willing to take risks, also when it comes down to career, pushing the boundaries. I think especially California is a very innovative state, and one of the reasons is that people are willing to take risks. Swiss people are a little bit more risk-averse than Europeans in general. And the last difference I see is how the two cultures approach mistakes and failure, which has to do with Europeans, they plan, they build up scenarios, they strategize, and that can take a long time, and then they execute. In the U.S., people, companies, they plan a little bit and they start executing and they make mistakes and they improve and they make it better. So the difference here is little planning, lots of execution, doing things through failure and improvement. Europe, lots of planning, and then detailed, specific, accurate execution. And that kind of relates back to the personal branding. So people are much more conscious and much more planful and mindful about getting out there and how to put themselves out there in the workplace.
That's really fascinating. Would you say that despite the cultural differences, that the fundamental principles of personal branding sort of stay true? Or do you think there's any difference in how a professional would approach developing their personal brand in the different markets?
The principles are the same. And the one I mentioned, we got to be authentic, real, valuable, relevant, unique, and consistent. And we got to apply those principles no matter what culture we're in. We got to be a little bit more aware of the cultural context. And I have a personal experience. I went to Europe a few years ago, and I went to a networking event. And I was working the room, so I go up to people, and after introducing my name, myself, I say, "What do you do?" And this question is, so for some people, was it a little bit too aggressive? Because people are not used to ask that right away. In the U.S., that's what you ask. Where are you from? What do you do? And it's part of the culture here. In Europe, it takes a little bit more time to break the ice, to establish relationship and rapport, and then you can ask about what you do and where you're from. So it's a cultural context, and we have to be aware and sensitive. How do we approach people? The principles are the same. We just have to apply them appropriately.
Fascinating. Thank you. I'm going to ask you one last question, and this is the kind of question that I find experts don't always like, but I'm going to ask you, for, let's say, an early to mid-career professional, what is the single thing that someone could do to start working on their personal brand that would give them the most sort of bang for their buck in terms of the time and energy they put in it? You know, if we're saying start today, work on your personal brand, what should people do absolutely first?
My recommendation is the single most important thing is invest in yourself. To become better at work, start becoming better yourself. Invest in your own knowledge, in your credentials. And also invest in your network, build relationships, get a mentor. Sit down with someone who is experienced once a month and learn from their experience, their failures. Ask them for career advice. So invest in your network. And then find something that excites you. Choose a field that you enjoy. Choose an environment, a culture, a company that you enjoy. If you like structure, go into a big structured company. If you like flexible, entrepreneurial environment, find a small little investment firm. If you like to be independent in sales, become a financial planner where you can choose your own schedule. Find something that is supported by your motivation. Focus on your strengths and do something that makes you strong in terms of what you do, how you do it, and how much you like it. So again, the key is start investing in yourself, because whatever you invest in yourself today, you will carry on and benefit in your entire career.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Simon. It's been really great speaking with you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being with you.
Copyright 2011, CFA Institute. No part may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, recording, or otherwise, without the express prior written permission of CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.